Okay, good evening everyone on Instagram. We'll just give you a little bit of time to join. Hopefully there are some souls joining. Thank you, Screaming Books. Nice to see you, Jiva Goswami. Wonderful. Melinda, thanks for joining. Emma, thank you for packing all those books today. It really worked out. Thank you so much. Yeah, so we have all these wonderful souls joining. So as you can see, it's quite ironic. Today's theme was lessons on the road. And somehow or other, we got late on an event and we're on the road. So we're going live on Instagram from the road. Now, if at any time you feel like this is like really disturbing, that the car is moving, then we can also pull over and do the live. So just if you write like pull over on the comments, then we'll pull over. It just means we'll lose about half an hour sleep, but we're willing to do it for all of you. But I hope it's okay. I hope you can hear us. And thank you so much for all of you joining. We have 50 of you online so far. Really, really appreciate it. Shesha, nice to see you. Mita. So just while others are joining, I'll just kind of give you a little bit of an update on what's been happening. As you all may have been following on Insta, I had the great fortune of being in Vrindavan, the Holy Land, for 6 weeks actually. And it's the first time I've been in Vrindavan during the holy sacred month of Kartik, which happens in October, November. First time in 20 years. So it was an amazing experience. It was really beautiful. Many, many saintly people were there. I had time to really read and disconnect and really reflect on life. And my spiritual teacher was there. So somehow or other, I had the great fortune of being in the same apartment as him. So that was really, really nice. And overall, it was just such a beautiful experience. So yeah, I just landed back in the UK like 5 days ago, well, a week ago. And here we are on the cold streets of the UK, like going from one extreme to another. But I was writing in my last blog post that they say the two most spiritual places in the entirety of the creation, the first is the place where Krishna, the Supreme Divinity, came and performed all of his divine play. That's Vrindavan. But it said that the place where you have some opportunity to serve others and serve God and bring spiritual wisdom and help people, that place is considered as holy as the holy lands of pilgrimage. So the streets of the UK where we're traveling are also very sacred. So it's been a wonderful few days. In the last week, we've been to Manchester, we've been to Liverpool, meeting many, many people on the street. Today we actually drove down from Manchester to London because we've just come out of the Houses of Parliament. And we had an amazing event this evening at the Houses of Parliament with the MP Bob Blackman. And it was a celebration of the Bhagavad Gita, because on Saturday, the Bhagavad Gita, we're honoring because it's the anniversary of when the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And so we were at the Houses of Parliament and we had the opportunity to share some reflections on the Gita. We handed out many copies of the Bhagavad Gita. We had many beautiful conversations with the people there and it was such a nice, nice event. So we're just on the way back and then I'm heading up to Birmingham. So that's a bit about my life, my journey, what's going on. And today I really wanted to share with all of you some of my lessons that I've learned on the road. This month is a very special month because traditionally what we do is we go out into all kinds of forums and try to share the Bhagavad Gita and other spiritual books with people. And one of the forums we go to, or one of the places we enter, is the urban hubs, the high streets, the city centers, the marketplace of modern consumerism. And we go to high streets and we just stand there in the middle of all the chaos, all the madness, and we just start stopping people, random people, people who are out shopping, looking for something. And we just try to start a conversation with them, and we start trying to talk about spiritual things. And it's something I thought I'd never do. So many of you may have met Hare Krishnas on the street. Many of you may have been Hare Krishnas on the street doing this. But it's something I thought I'd never do. But I did do it, and I continued to do it over the last couple of decades, and I still do it, and I find it incredibly amazing. I learned so many lessons out on the road, meeting people, trying to share wisdom with people. And as I was reflecting today on what lessons to share with all of you, my mind was actually being flooded with so many lessons, and I think I might want to write a book on this. It's kind of inspired me. But what I'm going to do today is I'm going to share with you five main lessons that I've learned on the road. They're going to be five sutras, so please try and keep them in your hearts and minds. And I think it will really, hopefully it will be helpful for you. Okay, we're picking up speed here. If it is a little difficult, just write pull over in the comments and we'll pull over. Otherwise, if it's good, just say carry on. And if I get a lot of carry ons from you, then we'll carry on. Okay. Someone's taking notes. Great. All right. So, five lessons from the road that I want to share with you today. Five lessons of life. Thank you, Elise. I'll carry on. The first major lesson that I learned on the road trying to share spirituality with others. The road, the streets are like a microcosm of life. And the first sutra I want to share with you is that the beginning is always the hardest. Right? The beginning is always the hardest. Learn this lesson of life. You learn it on the road, you learn it on book distribution for sure. Sometimes we go out there, we've got hundreds of books with us, we end up in the city center, we're surrounded by busy, busy people, the weather's cold. When you look at people's faces, they look cold, you're kind of cold. If there's one word on your mind, it's cold, cold, cold. And starting the day to just meet that first person, to try and stop them, intercept them, and begin a conversation is very difficult. I kind of compare it to taking a cold shower. So like a cold shower, it's like very difficult to get into a cold shower. But the amazing thing is if you manage to do it, then you come out feeling cleansed, energized, fresh. You actually feel so good. But the beginning is always the hardest. And when it doesn't matter how many years you've been going out on the road, distributing books, trying to share spirituality in this way, every single day when you go out on the street to begin that first conversation with someone on the street always requires a hell of a lot of mind control. They say the first battle of the day is the battle with your own mind. And if you can win that battle, every other battle in life becomes easy. And so what I really learned, one of the major lessons on the street, is how to engender that kind of mind control, how to be able to have that grit, that resilience to just say, okay, let's just take the dive. Because the beginning is always the hardest. And this stands true in every aspect of life. Like, getting up from bed, that first step off your bed, is so difficult. But once you've done it, it's like the rest tends to flow quite easily. Or sometimes opening a book of wisdom, just opening it and reading that first page, just requires a little bit of grit. But once you do it, you're flowing, you're moving. It's really, really natural. Sometimes opening a conversation with a new person who you've never met before is very difficult. But once you start, you get into it. And so the first thing that I learned on the street is that the beginning is always the hardest. Like, we're in a car now, and when the car's stationary, to get the car moving takes the most amount of petrol. But now we're driving, we're on a motorway, and we're zooming at like 70 miles per hour. We're not breaking the speed limit. But it doesn't require hardly any petrol at all, because the momentum's there. So to all my friends on the call, all of you wonderful souls, I just want to share this, and I know you know this already, but the beginning is always the hardest. And if you can just muster up the grit to begin something, amazing things can happen. So this is the first sutra I want to share with you. The beginning is always the hardest. And as I'm speaking, if any questions or if you have any comments or any things you want to share, please do put them in the chat, because then we'll kind of follow up on those things, yeah? Sutra number one, the beginning is always the hardest. The second sutra, the second lesson, is one I really, really like, which is, learn to take a no in style. Okay, this is the second lesson from the road. Learn to take a no in style. When you go out and you try to stop people on the street, you know, like, people compare us to the chuggers. You know the chuggers, right? You have like, they call them charity muggers. They call chuggers. And we're like the spiritual version of that. So like, people sometimes, they have this like sixth sense when they see you from a distance. They know who you are. And it's like people have every excuse under the sun to not stop. No, I don't have time. No, I don't read books. No, I'm not into religion. No, I already practice what I practice. No. So many no's. So many no's. If you want to do sharing spirituality on the street, you've got to be ready to take no's. But not just take no's. Learn how to take a no in style. In other words, sometimes when people say no, 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 it's so easy to get deflated. It's so easy to get demotivated. It's so easy to get depressed. And every no, like you're like this bubble of enthusiasm. And every time someone says no, it's like no, no, no. And you just get more and more deflated, until practically you're like a punctured tire. But one of my mentors, he said, learn to take a no in style. This is a lesson of life. You know, we have plans and expectations, but then no, they don't work out as we planned. There are people in our lives who we expect to reciprocate with us in certain ways, but then no, they don't act like that. There are so many things we want to achieve, but then no, fortunes don't work with us. We have a body and mind and we expect it to function in a certain way, but then no, our body and mind doesn't cooperate with us. Life is full of no's. But if you learn to take a no in style, then what it means is that in that moment, from that no, you grow. When you learn to take a no in style, you realize that every no is one closer to a yes. When you learn to take a no in style, you realize that the no is opening up some brighter future that you're not aware of at the moment. I want to tell you a story of someone who went for a 250,000 salary job at Twitter. And you know what? No, got rejected. But you know what he did? He took the no in style. That person, after the interview, after getting the no, he went onto his Twitter account, ironically, and he said, went for a job interview at Twitter, didn't work out, met some really great people, ready for the next adventure. His next adventure was a 250k job at Facebook. Hopefully they didn't see the Twitter, the tweet he did. But anyway, whatever it was, no, he got rejected from the Facebook job. And you know what he did after that? He took a no in style. He went onto Twitter and he put another tweet. Went for an interview at Facebook, didn't work out. Do you know what this person then went on to do? His name was Brian Acton. He then went on to invent WhatsApp. And you know what he did? He came back to Facebook and he sold it to them for $19 billion. This is the art of how to take a no in style. So when you're on the street and there's a no, 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 you learn to take a no in style. This is what my mentor told me. Later on, I realized this is not just the key to being on the street. This is the key to life. You have to learn to take a no in style. Let me share my third lesson with you. My third sutra for you today is commitment brings contentment. Committed life is beautiful life. Committed life brings deep inner satisfaction. Why did I learn this on the street? Because on the street, you know, like when you go to city centers for like 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you end up meeting the same people. You know, like when you go on the street distributing spiritual books, your best friends become like the big issue sellers, the buskers, the charity muggers, the AA people selling memberships on the street, you know, the guy selling balloons. You meet the same people again and again. So once I was going out on the street in a place, Southampton, and I met one of my old friends. He was a busker. And I hadn't met him for a year. And then we went out onto the street and I saw him. And he looked at me and he started smiling and he said, same old monks, same old books, same old lines, getting up to the same old tricks. And he started laughing. And in that moment, he was my good friend. So I looked at him, I said, same old guitar, same old songs, same old spot on the street, up to the same old tricks. And he started laughing. And we realized we were both up to the same old thing. He was committed to busking, and I was committed to trying to share wisdom with others. And then I realized everyone in this life has the opportunity to be committed to something. Commitment brings contentment. When I've been on the street, I've realized no matter how hard a day was, if I manage to just stay on the street, stay in the game, not get, you know, substituted, not get, you know, pulled off. If I manage to stay on the street, stay committed, then by the end of the day, something amazing always happened. Something rewarding always came about. After doing this for over 2 decades, I can tell you not one day has gone by when some rewarding experience hasn't come. Commitment brings contentment. committed life is beautiful life. In the world we're living in today, people give up too easily. You know, they say some of life's greatest failures were people who gave up when they were unaware how close they were to success. One of the great arts of life is try to not give up. Try to be committed. Be committed in your goals. Be committed in your relationships. Be committed in whatever it is you're trying to learn. Commitment brings contentment. And so I learned that on the street. That's my third sutra. My fourth sutra I want to share with you is one of my favorites. Life is not logical. Life is magical. Life is not logical. Life is magical. Right? This is one of my favorite ones. You know, when you go out on book distribution, you can't script it. You don't know how it's going to go. You don't know who you're going to meet next. You don't know if the first person or the last person or the middle person, you know, you don't know how it's going to work. Sometimes when you're out on the street for 5 hours, nothing happens. And then in 1 hour, like everything happens. It's never logical. It's never structured. It's never like, you know, uniform. It's a mystical drama. You can't script it. Like, it's never logical. Like, I'll give you another example. I could go to the same town on the same day of the week with the same books and use the same lines, and I could have two different, completely different days, even though all the factors are the same. Because one of the lessons I learned on the street is that life is not logical. Life doesn't work in a structured way. But life is actually magical. Life is full of unpredictable things. And I think this is how life goes. Like, we have a certain idea of how we think things should work out, but it doesn't always work out like that. Like, there is sometimes a higher play. Providence is there. You see, magic can't be predicted. Magic can't be planned. Magic can't be prepared. Magic just has to happen. So we can have a plan in life, but remember, life is a drama. Life is magical, and it takes its own twists and turns. And learn to go with the flow. Learn to have the faith to go with the plan. They say faith doesn't make sense. That's exactly why faith can make miracles. So, life is not logical. Life is magical. And being on the street, sharing spirituality with people taught me that. Let's go beyond just trying to script everything, and let's try to go a little bit with the flow here. So that's my fourth sutra. And as you guys are listening, just drop any questions you guys may have, because I'm going to open up soon and ask you for your comments and your reflections. Thank you. There's 100 of you online. I really, really appreciate you coming. It's so nice to spend time together after being separated for 6 weeks from Instagram Live. Okay, so you got my first four sutras. Yeah, and my last sutra that I want to share with you for the day. The last sutra, which I think I learned on the street very deeply and has helped me in my life, is hear the unheard. Hear the unheard. You know, we go out on the street and we stop people. And you know, like when we look at someone, within 5 minutes, 5 seconds, we've made a judgment of them. And the amazing thing is when you stop random people on the street and you begin to speak to people, you begin to realize how much we judge people, how much we make a perception of people. But then when you actually hear what they have to say, and not just hear what they have to say, but deeply tune into their psychology, then you actually get to understand the deeper things, the hidden story going on in someone's life. Once I was on book distribution, stopping people in the street, and 3 days in a row, I met 3 different individuals who all wanted to commit suicide. And one of them even showed me the rope that he was going to use to hang himself. Now, when I stopped these people on the street, I would never have imagined that they were in that state of mind. They didn't even look unhappy. But they say the story of our world is smiling faces, crying hearts. And so I began to realize that you have to hear the unheard. When you look at people, you have to take some time to really try to understand what's the hidden story. You know, when people look for sympathy, it's usually because no one gave them empathy. When people look for attention, the hidden story is that in their life they were never given appreciation. When people are constantly trying to dominate others, the hidden story is often that in their life they weren't themselves given protection. And when someone's constantly, for example, looking for independence in their life, often it's because they were not given empowerment. So one of the things I began realizing on the street is that we got to begin to hear the unheard. We got to look beyond people's faces. We've also got to look beyond people's words that they express. And we got to try to understand what's really going on within people's hearts. It's amazing when you're on the street how open people can be with you. Because they're like, they're just looking at you thinking, I don't know who this is, but it's a good opportunity to talk. And he's like a monk, so maybe he can help me. And, you know, I probably won't meet him ever again in my life anyway. So we can just be like really open here. And people are actually brutally honest about what's going on in their life. And you begin to realize there's so much going on in the background of people's lives that they don't express. So the key to relationships is to hear the unheard, to try to understand the hidden story. And then it really, we hold the key to connecting on a deeper level. So these are kind of some of the lessons. I just kind of shared with you a few things, lessons on the road, while on the road. I invite some of you to ask questions. And as you're thinking of your questions, I'm just going to recap. I think many of you caught it, but my first sutra, the beginning is always the hardest. But don't let that stop you from beginning something amazing. Yeah, just you have to muster up that initial momentum, initial energy, and then you'll be flowing. Number one, the beginning is always the hardest. Number two, learn to take a no in style. Because every no is one closer to the beautiful yes that makes your life amazing. Lesson number three, commitment brings contentment. Committed life is beautiful life. Find something in your life that you commit to. Don't fall into one of the biggest traps of the world today, which is the tendency to chronically give up. Don't give up what you want most for what feels good now. Sutra number 3, life is not logical, life is magical. And so have a plan, have an idea, but remember, we don't know the script, and the script is not a uniform script, it's not a stereotype script, it's not a structured script. Life doesn't work like that. Have the faith, move with the will of providence, and you'll see amazing things happen. That's my fourth one. And my fifth and final sutra, lessons from the road. Hear the unheard. Next time you meet someone and they're acting in ways which seemingly are irrational, illogical, irritating, try to hear the unheard. Try to understand what's going on behind all of those things. And then maybe you hold the key to something more progressive. All right, so I am now scrolling. We've nearly reached our destination, so the car has now stopped, so I think you'll be able to hear us better. I'm going to start taking some of your questions. Okay, so Chandness is asking, how do you stop people? What's the first thing you say? Well, the first thing you have to do is you have to smile. Smiling is the universal language. Smiling lights up the world. Smiling lights up people's hearts. A smile is an invitation. A smile is an opening of the heart. People don't smile enough today. Have you noticed? Everyone is miserable. So the first thing is smile. The second thing you can do is you can hold up your hand. They say the hand is like a radar. And you can just, you know, wave, give a wave. And then what do we do to stop people? Different people do different things. You can guess something about them. You can ask them, how are you doing today? We're just traveling through. We're meeting the people. You can ask them something about themselves. Are you from this town? Are you a student? You can do anything. You can just be yourself, have a conversation, just smile, look at people in the eye. And actually, what's more important is just the intention to want to share something with someone. And people hear the language of the heart. Actually, the language of your heart speaks much louder than any of your words. So just be positive, be inviting, try to make a connection with people, try to find some common ground, try to find something in common, try to then understand through your conversation with people their needs, their interests, their concerns, and then make a connection with them. And you'll find that you strike a conversation very, very quickly. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. People really are open to that. So thank you. That could be a whole seminar in itself, but we will do some more of that later. So I'm just checking out. Okay, here we go. Aryan Pandey is asking, when do we know that we have to stop? What's the stopping point in a conversation? That's a really good question. Yeah, so at what point in a conversation should we kind of call it quits and say kind of move on? When you have a conversation with people, there's a certain energy, like there's a certain energy that you have when you stop them, and you kind of build up the energy, and it's very interesting, it's very rewarding. You will know when a conversation is losing its energy by a few things. The first thing is people, their attention will begin going in other places. They'll look around in different places and they won't be focused on, you know, the conversation. So that's the first classic sign that, okay, maybe we need to be moving on here. The second thing is that you will feel that you're losing a connection, like that what you're saying is not really uplifting that person, is not really having an impact on their consciousness. So you'll find you'll naturally see that your words are not really meeting their heart in the same way. You'll see actually that when people are uninterested, they don't have questions. They don't have any return comments to make. That's also a classic sign that the conversation is losing energy. So when we're out on the street, we don't want to just hold people up. We don't want to like waste people's time. So try to create that connection. Try to have that deep conversation. Try to meet their hearts. And you don't have to also spend so much time with people. People are busy. If they want to spend time, you can. But you can keep it short, you can keep it sweet, keep it inspiring. Always leave people with a good impression. Everyone should go away from you thinking, if I met that person again, I'd want to speak to them. They should feel inspired, interested, intrigued by what you are sharing with them. And we try to leave with that kind of energy. So yeah, I'm glad you brought up this point, Aryan, because learning the art of conversation is something which is becoming somewhat of a lost art in the world we're living in today. People don't know actually how to have a conversation. So going out and sharing spirituality on the street, you converse with so many people from so many different backgrounds every single day, and you learn the great art of how to actually have a conversation, how to be attentive, and how to also catch someone else's attention, and how to have a conversation which uplifts both of you. So that's one of the great things you learn being on the street. Thank you. So many questions. These are all amazing. Rama is asking, I missed the last word of the third sutra. Commitment brings contentment. Contentment, satisfaction. Yeah, committed life is beautiful life. Yeah. Okay. All right. Shesha. Shesha's my old friend. We were out on the streets sharing spirituality together. Okay, so he's asking, oh God, he asked the question, but it's just disappeared now. Let's see if I can find it. Okay, yeah, Shesha is asking, once you hear the unheard, how can we deal with it in a way that doesn't make the person feel scared, vulnerable, etc.? Oh, that's a great question, yeah. So we hear the unheard, We find out something about someone's deeper hidden story that's making them act in a certain way, and how do we then deal with them without making them feel vulnerable or scared? Yeah, the first thing is we don't want to just people have to come to terms with their own weaknesses. People have to come to terms with their experiences or their traumas or their impressions from the past that are causing them to be in a certain way. So the first thing we have to try to do is create a safe space where they can not feel embarrassed about that. One of the main things I do, like for example, if someone's if I find something is a hidden story in someone's life that's causing them to act in a certain way, in an indirect way, I may just share something about myself, which demonstrates the same weakness. So then they begin to think like, oh, wow, you're going through that? Like, I'm also going through that. And then often they reveal many things. So one of the ways in which, when you know someone's hidden story is holding them back, is try to act in such a way to make them feel comfortable in admitting that and coming to terms with that. And that's one of the great arts of how to actually help people improve, is make them feel comfortable with where they're at in their life and what challenges they have. Most people, they say denial is the one of the biggest blocks to changing. And denial is caused because of embarrassment. So we have to make people feel so many people go through this. I've gone through this. You know what? Like, it's okay. So that's a real art that we have to show people. And basically the hidden stories that most people have are hidden stories that many other people have as well. Like, in this world, we're all going through very, very similar things. It's just no one talks about it, and then everyone thinks they're the only one. So I think that's one thing, Shaisha, you can do. You're very good at this. Just help people feel comfortable. It's okay. We're not here to be perfect specimens. We're all works in progress. Thank you. It's coming up to 8:42 and we're running out of time. I appreciate so many of you staying on. Let me just take one more question, whichever one comes. Okay. Sneha is asking, how can you make people who believe in logic believe in spiritual magic? That's such a beautiful question, yeah. Logic is boring. Logic is limiting. Logic is like just groundwork. Magic is what we look for. Life is about magic. So how do we make people believe in magic? I don't know that you can make people believe in magic. But what you can do, Sneha, is you can inspire them to start doing certain things that may help them experience magic. And when they experience magic, you won't have to convince them. So now the next question is, how do you experience magic in your life? And to round off this session, I'm going to share one thing with you. If you want to experience magic in your life, then you need to muster up the courage to take a risk. Only when you're willing to sail away from the shores of what you know, then you can truly go into the horizon of what could be. Taking a risk, going out of your comfort zone, doing something that you wouldn't normally do, just to kind of see what would happen if I did it differently. All of that opens up the doors to magical things happening. When you take a risk, you leave your logic behind. You begin to say, these are my abilities that I'm aware of. This is my capacity that I'm aware of. But now I'm going into another arena, and I don't know whether my ability or capacity is going to be enough. But that's when the magic comes in to make up for whatever we lack. They say when your desire to serve is so great that you continue on without hesitation, even when you go beyond your capacity, then in that moment, empowerment and magic occurs, by which divinity begins to transpire miracles that help you to do things and experience things you thought were never possible. So, this is the final mantra I leave you with today. In the beginning, people do the necessary. They only do what they need to do. Later on, people do the possible. They start thinking, I'm not just going to do what needs to be done or the bog standard logical things. I'm going to start experiencing or exploring possible things that I could experiment with. When you go from doing the necessary to going to do the possible, then eventually you begin to do the impossible. This is the movement of where you want your life to go. A boring life means just doing the necessary. An exciting life is beginning to look at doing the possible. But a magical life is when that service and that desire to find divinity and reach people's hearts becomes so great that then you begin doing the impossible. And that's magic. That's the magic of life. And that's what we're all looking for. So with these words, I'm going to log off, because we only go till 8:45. We're on the road. Thank you so much for joining. I'm sorry if it was a little noisy. We are in the car. This was lessons from the road, so I guess it was destined to do it from the car. It's really nice to be with you all, and I really appreciate you all taking the time. We're going to be out and about all over the country in the coming month. We're going to be in Birmingham, then we're going to go to Leicester, then we're going to be in Sheffield, Lincoln, Leeds, York, then we're going to go to East Anglia, Norwich, Ipswich, we're going to come down to Southampton, Bournemouth. So we're dotting around everywhere. Hopefully we'll meet some of you along the way. And I hope some of these sutras will help you, something to think about. And in future sessions, perhaps we can delve a little deeper. And really, really appreciate your company. So with that, at 8:48 on this Thursday evening in the cold, we'll log off, and we'll wish you the best, and we wish you many lessons as you all go out in your own ways to share spirituality with others. Thank you so much. All the best, and Hare Krishna.